Welcome back to Tabletop Vagabonds and D&D 5e, actual play podcast set in the homebrew world of Aria.
Whoa now.
The home was deeply upsetting.
You can tell I'm getting very bored of these intros. I'm Alex Stratton, your TM, and I'm joined, and this word I'm actually really happy with. I think it absolutely sums up Melinda left, right, and center. The academic Amy.
Why, thank you, yes. Only Melinda, maybe not so much Amy. I'm Amy, and I play Melinda Wrenchnozzle, the Sky Gnome Warlock. And I am joined by the Dizzy Dave.
Whoa!
You may be with my flying this week.
That was just some of the lamest shit.
Yeah, I feel like I'm on a children's TV show by doing that. I feel like I've brought down the prestige of this podcast tenfold.
It can't go any lower. You're welcome. It can't go any lower.
True, true. My name is Dave. I play Finn, the Larsa Artificer. And I am joined by the cybernetic Craig.
That's a nice little throwback to the pre-show amble where I said I was a cyborg. Nice. Hi, everyone. I'm Craig. I play Volley Willowstar, the 8-year-old Volmane Wild Magic Sorcerer. And this week, not to really anybody's surprise, I'm joined by the astronomical Alex.
What?
What?
No.
What, you're here?
Hi, everyone. Of course I'm here. I'm not always here. I'm usually here. I'm Alex. I play Osric, the Gear Gnome
Forge
Cleric.
What does that mean?
It's a bit metaphysical, that, Alex.
There's been a couple of episodes I haven't been here.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago.
But still technically true, and that is the most important form of correctness.
Okay.
I mean, he's right.
Is this fun for you podcast listeners?
And of course, as always, I'm going to attempt a word that I've never said before in my life, so let's see what happens. I am joined, as ever, by our Australopithecine Alex, the DM.
Ah, yes, of course. Yes, thank you. Australopithecine to you too, sir.
We're scraping the barrels now.
Like a drunk French person trying to talk about an Australian swimming pool.
Yeah. What does it mean, good sir?
It means you relate to a genus of early hominids that exist in Africa during the late Pliocene and early Pleistocene.
How did you know what I was doing during the early Pliocene and late Pleistocene area? You've been following me around, sir. Yeah. The late Pleistocene area.
I had one of the earliest spy cams in existence.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. So, I mean, what's good about this podcast really is that even if you think our DMing is shit and the podcast sucks,
which we do,
you learn something every day with these words. And we're really here because this entire thing is just a way to trick our listeners to get a bit of education in terms of vocabulary. So you
try using it into a sentence today.
Yeah. So, dear listeners, and also my gang, because frankly, they don't remember anything. Last session, then, you guys fucked me. You fucked me pretty hard. You went and you completely skipped any kind of storyline and just went and stole the boats. So what did you do? Well, you decided to steal the Dead Bones, which is Billy Bones' ship. And you did this by dressing up like pirates and getting a lot of mustaches.
Oh, yes, the mustaches.
I feel like we could have done with more mustaches.
Unsurprisingly, the abundance of mustaches didn't actually succeed, and you ended up having to fight your way onto the ship.
If we had more mustaches, I think we would have made it.
Maybe, maybe. I feel that a mustache on your mouth and where your eyes would be wasn't enough mustaches. While fighting for the ship, Volley made friends with the local Aboleth who lives in the cove. Why do they live in the cove? That doesn't make sense, DM. Give me a reason. Well, you can't get one. Because they'd skip the storyline. So, there was one. Yeah. Deal with it.
The one time he did the whole back.
This feels like a very salty intro from RDM.
Upon taking over the Dead Bones and flying off into the sky, saying, fuck you, storyline, the gang realized that there were some gnome slaves being kept in the hole.
Yes.
Yes. Turns out that after fleeing Tia, they were attacked by Captain Billy Bones and his crew. Furthermore, they were on their way to Galestar to meet up with survivors of Alfgeet's usurpation.
But
No buts. They got slaved and then you unslaved them. So now I guess you're heading that way as well. We'll find out.
I think it's called free.
Free. We definitely knew they were there, and everything that transpired at the end of the last episode was definitely done for a reason. Definitely not an accident.
Yes, it was definitely done for the reason of saving people, not just getting your shit back.
Yeah,
sure. And wanting a pirate ship.
And wanting a pirate ship. And that is where we are at.
And the first thing we're all going to do following that intro is fly that airship straight back into the cove so we can find the Ableth's home.
Yeah. Where are you from, Ableth?
We're now going to go trade it back to Billy Bones.
Yeah, we really need to finish off that plot line.
What we'll tell him is he needs to steal from the other ship to then get his stuff back. And then he'll see how he feels. Yeah.
And then we'll steal that ship and then we'll have two.
No, no, no. We tell Billy Bones he has to steal Tyr back from Alfie to get his ship back.
Okay, so the ship is on cruise control. The gang are on the deck.
I'm still watching it, of course. You know, watching those dials.
The spectral hands are just holding it 10 and 2. They're very, very legit cruise control. And time has passed since you showed to them earlier. It's now heading towards nighttime. Where are you going?
So what, the ship?
Yeah.
The ship is going to head towards Galestar based on what they've said. And because I don't really know where else to, you know, drive to. I'm assuming we're going to have to stop on the way. This ship is not going to have enough fuel for that.
I think if we've got a group of people who are not fighters and want nothing more than to go home, it feels a bit rude to drop them anywhere else than their own place that's a floating city. I feel like getting home to a floating city is quite hard.
We could go and get Benjin to start the air tours part of Benjin Tours. And these could be his first guests.
We could bring them as his first customers aside from ourselves.
Something tells me we're not welcome back in Crimson Cove anymore.
Billy Bones can suck it.
We might want to show up in a different ship.
So the people that you rescued, you spoke to one of them and he said that he had the coordinates of Galestar. Now, Melinda and Finn especially, everyone else probably knows this anyway, but those two especially because you're from there, you know that Galestar is a forever moving city because it's in the air. These coordinates are a while old, so the city probably isn't there anymore, but it's still a good starting point.
Yeah. Obviously, I have no idea where we are from the Glisten Glades, and obviously we were near Tyr. I have a vague idea of the geography, but it feels like we're going to have to stop along the way.
It'll take a couple of days for you to get to where the coordinates are pointing at, and then it'll probably take you a little bit longer to find out where Galestar actually is.
I'm assuming, being residents of Galestar, we would know its general movement pattern. I assume it moves in, like, has a route it takes.
Yes, it sort of goes in a wide circle around the center of the continent.
Yeah.
So if that's the coordinates, then if you're flying that way, it's a good bet to assume. Actually, roll intelligence for me, those who live in Galestar. So that's Finn and Melinda.
I'm thinking as well that we'll know we can stop on the way and ask somebody, like, oh, do you have the most recent?
Yeah.
That's a 20, not nat.
Okay.
I mean, you do it, Finn. If you've got 20, not nat, that's fine.
20, you know that at this time of the year, at this time of the rotation, having lived there and grown up there for many years, if it's at that point of the town, then it's going off to the east. So you know that following to that point and then carrying on, it'll be somewhere east of that marker.
Okay.
That's a very good bet. And also, you do both know that it's common practice when finding Galestar to chat to merchants and so on to get the latest update because it's constantly moving. It's been doing this since it's been born, or made, I should say. It'll take you a couple of days. You guys are long rested as you do various things.
Just a quick question about Galestar. How long does it take for it to do a complete rotation? I assume it's really slow.
Yeah, so to do a full rotation of Aria takes about 6 months.
Yeah. Okay.
And it doesn't do the whole of Aria, I should say that. It's a circular pattern in the middle of the continent. It actually goes past Tyr in that circle as well.
I just imagined it moving fast enough that people fall off. They get blown away when the wind picks up.
So it does 2 laps a year, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So as the night is starting to set in, you notice that the gnomes who've been freed have all kind of broken off into either little groups or sat round together, huddled. Some of them are playing a game of bones. Everyone's just kind of burning time and relaxing, and actually for them, enjoying the outside and the night sky and freedom for the first time in, you're not quite sure how long, but at least a week or so.
Can we talk to them?
Sure, yeah.
Melinda will approach the group of gnomes. They're probably not the ones that are sat playing games, because she wants to like have a conversation. And yeah, so she'll approach the ones that are just sat around.
There's an older gnome who's sat around this small fire they made in a little metal box. So it's just enough to light up. It's not going to cause any damage. There are about three or four of them sat there, and an older gnome looks towards you as you approach.
Mm-hmm. Sir, I'm Melinda Renchnozzle. I don't think I got a chance to introduce myself earlier. I was busy flying this ship. Humble brag.
Renchnozzle, yes. Sit, girl. Sit. Join us. The fire is warm.
I will sit. Oh, and I'll rummage around in my bag for that cake that I got from the Crimson Cove that I brought in the Tupperwares, if you remember. Hand those out.
The first Tupperware box you take out is the one full of the putrid pus and bits and bobs
not
of that
this
monster.
One.
What was that? What?
Oh, just something we found on our trip. I need to take it somewhere for someone to identify. But don't worry about that. I've got something much better here. And then I'll hand him a slice of cake.
It's delicious. Is that nutmeg? Oh, it's delicious. Thank you. It's greatly appreciated. And I assume you hand it out to all the people around the fire.
Yeah, there was three of them. So yeah, I'd say I've probably got that many slices.
Yeah. They all dig into it quite hungrily. You can tell that they are appreciating the food. Is everyone else joining this area as well?
Probably at a distance. Osric has... spending time getting used to having his gear back. So he's polishing it, he's oiling it, he's fine-tuning the cogs and enjoying having his pipe back. So if everyone's gathered around, is it safe to have a fire in an airship?
Yeah, it's in a small like metal box. It's deliberately made to have the fire inside it so that they can light up in the middle of the night. It's not going to damage the ship.
Good. Everyone should observe health
not
and
like
safety.
Not like antacids.
Yeah, not antacids.
Yes, definitely not like that.
Not going to melt the ship.
Osric is one step removed from the central circle. He's smoking on the outskirts, listening in.
I'll join and sit down with Mal and the other gnomes.
Volley will be sitting with Mal and Finn, but he's itching. He wants to get his book back off Melinda, but he doesn't want to interrupt at the same time.
So, how long do you think you were prisoners on this ship?
A week or so, I think we were. We were lucky to get aboard the merchant vessel and leave here, and then we left and it seemed that fire was still on the mountain, and then we were following the coordinates to Gale Star, and then we were accosted by two ships. They killed our crew and the captain and took the rest of us. Thelebrus only knows what they would do with us. We owe you a Wookiee life, Dad.
Thank God!
Thank you for saving us. I know we've said it before, but honestly, I thought we would be forgotten about down there.
I mean, that's okay. I mean, we're just lucky that we found you. Honestly, what a place that was. They stole my friend his, all of his belongings. He was drowning.
Oh.
The camera pans around towards Ricky. He takes a big puff on his pipe. He goes, yep, and what a state they left it in as well. Completely useless. Just like, tips loads of bracken water out of his exosuit.
Carpet! The bird just coughs up some water.
Carpet! Seeing all this, Finn will get up from the group and walk over to Osric and offer to help fix up his gear, and Finn will be casting mending. Zag will just be his assistant.
Osric will quietly nod in appreciation and hand you what at first glance appears to be a chunk of knotted, twisted metal, but the more you hold it, it does reveal itself to be effectively like his right arm mount for his suit.
Zag pulls out of your rucksack, Finn, these little welding goggles and puts them on.
Let's get to it, Zag! We'll get your stuff spick and span, Osric.
Finn's actually helping. Zag is just randomly punching stuff.
Zag is just chasing his bird around in loops.
As Melinda is rummaging in her bag, she's going to shout out, guys, that metal old hand you bought from Crimson Cove, that's in here too. And then she's going to pass it to Finn and Osric.
Finn looks in Mal's bag for more mustaches.
Finn, you already used too many.
How many mustaches do you have left?
I remember Finn threw away two mustaches in a flamboyant display to reveal himself, despite the fact that he had no idea who he was.
Like, basically, most of Melinda's body is now in her bag while she's rummaging around looking.
I thought you were about to say most of Melinda's body is mustaches.
If you are doing that, Melinda, can you make a wisdom check for me?
Turns out the reason those mustaches are so cheap, cursed. They turn you into a mustache.
Sorry, just to confirm, I'm not full of mustaches. Just a flat wisdom, okay?
A wisdom save, please.
A wisdom save. Oh, that's better, much better to roll on a wisdom save. 18.
Okay, you, for a second, think you hear whispering, but very close, as though someone's lips are almost on your ear, but you can't make out the words, and then it's gone.
As I surface out of my bag, I'll probably lean over to Volley, who's sat next to me, and be like, Volley, I think somebody's talking to me from the bag.
Really?
Yeah, like a whispering or something.
Can I go in?
What? What is it?
She said there's whispering in her bag.
Well, I want some ice cream too, damn it. This cake could do with a condiment.
Let me see what we've got in there. Hold on. Volley's going to look at Melinda and can I have a look?
Oh yeah, I'll open it up so you can look in it.
Volley's going to head and shoulders start combat crawling into the bag.
What are you trying to find?
One, the source of the whispering.
Okay.
And shh, don't tell Melinda, but two, the book.
Okay. Roll wisdom save for me, please.
What did I call it? Winnie the something.
Winnie the gnome, I think.
Winnie the gnome, that's right. Thank you.
Go home, Winnie the gnome.
16.
You think you may hear something, but then you don't, and it's gone.
Oh, Volley's going to keep going.
You do find the book.
He tucks that under his arm as he finds it. He's like, yes. And then he keeps crawling in like Mary
Poppins. It's in the trolley. There's a little trolley next to the bookshelves. Excellent. Like a library. And it was left in there because it hadn't been sorted to go on the side yet. The rest of the bag is a complete mess, but the books are very well organised.
Volley has noticed and didn't want to say anything, but if anyone looks overnight, you can just see Volley's big tree trunk feet sticking out and then they disappear as he climbs full on into the bag.
Roll perception for me, please.
Awesome. This is how Volley dies.
Yeah.
There's part of Finn that's like, close the bag.
21.
21. You see a black crystal shining that seems to stand out. It's not been organized, yes.
Oh.
And that may be where the voice came from.
Do I recognize it as the crystal from the weird cultism when I was paralyzed?
I think you were cut down before.
You were paralyzed.
Well, the crystal was there, wasn't it?
Yes, but I mean, maybe roll intelligence. It's your Volley. I'm not Volley. You tell me.
No, I'm saying, like, from the look at it, would I recognize it as the crystal from the fight with the spider?
It depends how much attention you pay, because for 99% of that fight, you were on your back looking at the ceiling.
I'm going to roll for it because I don't really know. Let's find out. No, he didn't pay any attention to the crystal with a 6.
It's just a black crystal that maybe made a sound.
There's something about it. Volley will pick it up, and in one hand he has Winnie the gnome, in the other hand he has this mysterious black crystal, ambles himself around, pops his head out.
Roll constitution save for me.
13. 16.
16?
Yeah.
Okay. Nothing happens.
Cool. Pops his head out of the bag. Goes, I found it! Look! Woohoo! Winnie the gnome! Oh! Find out about this wardrobe!
But you didn't find the whispering.
Oh, I think it might be this. And Volley holds up the shard of the crystal.
Oh, Volley, I don't think you should be touching that. That's from the crust.
Is it? Oh. It doesn't look like crust. He taps it on his head. Dink, dink, dink. Seems okay to me.
Okay.
You want to have a look?
Maybe we should just put it back in the bag while we're on the ship. I don't want anything bad to come out of it.
Anywhere specific?
Just on that shelf in there.
Okay. Volley will place it down. I'm not really trying to take much care, just plonks it on the shelf and clambers out of the bag.
Oh, but you found your book again. Great.
Yeah. See what happens with this weird little gnome.
So I guess now I'll turn back to the old man and just be like, sorry, I didn't catch your name.
The old man's asleep.
Oh.
The old man's called Myra.
Is there anyone awake in this?
Yeah, next to him. He's asleep, darling. He's very old. He's 392.
Mm. Oh, wow. Sorry, what was your name?
Oh, my name is Celine.
And you were in tier two?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no one important. You realise she has just typical standard brown hair. I was just minding a store when it all happened, and tier enforcers, they were fighting all around me, and next thing I knew, I was on the ship, and we went out through the top of the mountain.
Well, it's good that you got out. It doesn't matter that you're not important. Everyone's important in this fight against evil.
That's a nice way to look at it, I think. I'd like to not fight, though. I don't really think I've got much of a fight in me, but...
Well, even selling your wares is an important role.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
We can all help in our own way.
Thank you. That's a big pep talk for Celine today. It feels nice.
Do you know who he is? And Volley points at Osric.
I can see by his red hair that he's important.
Is a glam tinker. A good one. Not one of them bad
he's
ones.
He's Brock's cousin.
I feel like that's a very loaded name to be bandying around now.
Alfgeet was a glam tinker, and he's the one who caused all this mess.
Yeah, he's a bad glam tinker. He's a good one. Maybe the only good one.
I heard the enforcer say you were the one who murdered Brock.
No, that's not true. But he did do time for it.
It's true they said it.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
not true
they did say it.
Yeah, it's not true we did it.
And then he got arrested, and then he lost his hand, and then me and Finn got kind of arrested.
Hmm.
And then Brock died, and then we flew out of a building, and then Tyr got caught on fire.
Well,
it's a very
maybe
strange...
You should go back to your book.
No, I'm just saying that there are good glam tinkers. And right. He's one, maybe the only one. Oh, Myra, she was nice.
Oh, there's a few good ones, like my dead parents.
That was pretty dark, that. Sorry about your parents, I guess, and your uncle, I guess.
Maybe he can help you get set back up again in Tyr, when the time comes, of course.
She's looking very expectantly at you, Osric, as though you are her one hope at life. You can help me get set up, can you?
You are gnome Jesus.
I think that might be some time away, I'm afraid. There's a lot to do back in Tyr. It's not in the best way right now.
I'll get my broom.
Tell you what, rich families always fight, and it's us poor folk that have to deal with it.
Well, we have to suffer and deal with it as well. It's not all glamour.
Down with the bourgeoisie!
As the evening goes on, it starts getting darker. People start sharing the bits of food that they found in the hold, and you notice as you get quieter and you'll get sucked into your own conversations amongst each other, that slowly at first and quietly at first, one after another joins in this rising song that goes from the sad tone at the beginning and then starts feeling a bit of pride and happiness and gets louder. Especially you, Osric, you know it is the national anthem of Tyr as they start singing it across the ship.
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men.
Amen.
It's not obvious to anyone who isn't paying attention to Osric, but he will be sat out again. He's far enough away from the fire that he's mostly in shadow, but he is singing it almost under his breath. So if you look, you can see it, but he's not making it obvious.
I'm getting really strong Aragorn vibes from Osric right now.
Yeah.
Those of you that don't speak Gnomish would not understand it because it is in Gnomish.
I speak Gnomish. What's it about?
I speak Gnomish.
The song in general likens each gnome to a cog and how all the cogs come together to create the overarching city that is Tyr and how everyone is important in their own way.
As our DM, in the voice of the refugees who we have gathered on our ship, can you please sing the song of my people?
No. I will write it at some point for the lore, but no. Like Tyr, it's a very all together, everyone has their part song.
Mm-hmm. Very mechanized, methodical.
Yeah, Tyr by itself is built on this layers of hierarchy, and it's very much ingrained from the beginning of the Gnomish culture all the way to the end.
Oh, I can hear it now. So harmonious.
Volley doesn't know the words, but doesn't want to be left out, so he's just kind of muttering the approximate kind of like syllables and noises, going, "Oh,
I'm gonna get yourself absolutely soaking wet."
Osric is using his artisan's blessing to just take the hand that he'd got in the Crimson Cove and make it fine-tuned and carefully fitted to his wrist, more like But when you buy a suit and you tailor it to fit you rather than a one-size-fits-all, he wants the hand to be an extension of him.
So is there anything anyone wants to do in this evening? The song is singing on the wind. People are starting to wind down to sleep. Some are falling asleep on the deck. Some are going down into the hull of the ship to go into the hammocks. What are you wanting to do?
Folly wants to finish this book.
It's taken you about 3 hours, but you have just finished the 12-page book.
Oh, chapter one.
Of which every opposite page is words, and it's about 5 words a page.
Excellent. Folly's very proud of himself. Melinda, I've finished.
Oh, great job. Melinda's by the deck where the control panel is. Although it's still an autopilot, she's still watching it. She's not that anyone else would know this, but she's quite nervous that she's not done something right and just wants to keep an eye on the whole controls and also the fuel levels as well. So, yeah, it's very nice when Wally comes up. And what did you think?
It was good.
And the bit where he went to the tea party? Isn't that fantastic?
I that was probably my favourite bit.
Oh, brilliant. I think I might have the next one in the series in here somewhere.
Yes.
I'll have to look for it in the morning, because I think, you should rest up, Wally.
Yeah, my headspace is a bit cloudy right now.
Yeah, I think it might be time for some sleep.
I don't think I can sleep. There's nowhere for me to root up here.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I'll just hang my head off the side like a dog.
We should start carrying a watercress-style, like, wet bedding.
Just a trough.
Yeah, we should just have, like, a little ceramic pot with some dirt in it.
It'd have to be a pretty big ceramic pot. Who's going to carry that around?
Hey, I have a bag of holding.
Touché.
But not since we've been anywhere where we could have got a pot of soil, except for maybe the Glistening Glades, where there's famously lots of soil. But
Maybe I can take a watch. I got the boys to keep me company, and we'll sing some of the Bloodmeister, pray to my God.
Yeah.
My newfound spirituality, if you want to take a break, and I can watch.
Melinda looks very dubious whenever he starts talking about Baldrick Bubba being his god.
I can watch these weird gloves hold the steering wheel.
Okay, if you're sure, but wake me if anything changes.
Okay.
And she's just going to uncharacteristically just like kind of lay down, in the corner of that room.
Okay, boys, it's time.
I mean, I might not if there's going to bloody play music on
Give me some Bloodmeister.
Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling good and bright. It's
That's
such
right.
a svart and natural sight. Do, do, do.
I swear your voice is getting better every day.
It's what I do, man. It's what I do. It's what I do. Yeah, it's what we
it
do.
So good.
And that faint singing is happening in the cabin. Finn, your work is finished. Osric's hand is slotting onto his arm and it looks well fitted between the two of you. You have done a good job at giving him a hand.
Great.
Yeah.
But
Osric, how does it feel?
He just holds his hand and...
Not, obviously it doesn't feel, but
It's fully opposable. It uses essence to understand the muscle movements from the arm. Mm-hmm.
Holding it in the air, you can see him turning it and bending the fingers and opening them up again. It's not quite the same, but with time it could be.
Let's try some basic exercises. Try picking up your hammer.
Osric picks up his hammer.
Okay, now smash that bird.
Can't build.
We can rebuild it, Osric. We can rebuild it and fix it so it doesn't keep yelling convict at you.
Convict.
It's growing on me. Weird little thing.
Fair enough.
It flies over and lands on your shoulder.
Convict.
Finn holds Zag back as... When Zag spots it again, he tries to go for it. No, Zag! Osric wants to keep him. How are you feeling about everything, Osric? I mean, I know that was a pretty rough time for you.
Don't need to laugh at my expense.
I wasn't.
Well, I'm glad it's over. That cove wasn't the best place, was it? That's nowhere for a group like us. We've got bigger things to be doing than dealing with pirates. Leave them to their own devices.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like just kind of a distraction.
We've been smithing into the late hours, so by the time we're done, it is dark. We are smithing by the light of my pipe and the dying remnants of the fire, so there's not much more to it. Yeah, it's time to turn it in.
Are you going to sleep in the hull where the beds and hammocks are. People seem to be sleeping in various different positions. Some are lying out in front of the sky, some aren't.
Osric does not want an edge. He wants to be encased. He's going below the hold. He doesn't like it up here that much.
And you, Finn?
Finn will just go to the bunks.
Ooh, spoon time.
Slowly, Volley is the last person awake. You see Finn and Osric go down into the hull of the ship, and then no more than 10, 15 minutes later, the last of the two awake gnomes, one falls asleep on the side of the deck looking out, and then the other one goes to sleep and goes down into the hull. And there is a quiet hum of the essence engine as the ship keeps going, the ghost cruise control hands holding onto the steering wheel. Melinda asleep in the cabin next to you. Are you standing on the deck or in the cabin with Melinda?
I will be standing directly next to the wheel.
In about an hour later, you hear faintly on the wind a kind of squawking noise.
Bolly rocks!
No. And then as you look to see, you see a flock of these creatures that you've not seen before, but they're up in tandem with the ship. And they're illuminescent in the night sky, and each one of them has two wings on either side of its body and a long, thin, curled tail. And they don't seem a threat. They're just in a flock, just gently gliding in tandem with the boat, almost as though they're having a bit of fun swerving towards the ship and then away, and then towards the ship and away, in the same way that dolphins would swim around boats today.
Mm.
They're beautiful to watch as they glow in the moonlight. They're almost translucent in their luminescence, similar to that of a jellyfish. And then after about 5 minutes, they then sweep away again and disappear.
Folly, upon seeing said flying creatures, is going to run out of the room to the edge of the ship and will be amazed at the sight of them.
Punk, punk, rock, rock, wow.
What, man?
These are
what?
Look, what is that?
I don't know. Am I high, man?
I mean, we're pretty high. The ground's pretty far below us.
It's a good joke. Yeah, it's a pretty good joke, man. It's pretty good.
One of them is going to sweep over towards the ship and go in tandem with the edge of the ship where you are. Not far, at arm's reach. Maybe you could touch its wing.
Folly will reach out, and as he does so, will cast Speak with Animals. And we'll say, hello, I'm Volley. You look amazing.
Oh, thanks, dude. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Oh, I've made a lot of new animal friends recently. And,
sweet, man.
You guys, what are you, if you don't mind me asking? I've never seen you before, which is a shame.
You never been up here in the high at nighttime, man?
No, I should come up here more often.
Oh, bro, you really should. Yeah, We're Ebelos, man. We're Ebelos. We just like to fly and chill in the moonlight. You know, we sleep during the day and then, oh, when the moon comes out, it just, oh, it brings you life, man. It brings you life.
Oh, that's so cool. Where you been? Where you going?
Well, we're just kind of flying, man. Me and my family. You see my family over there?
Yeah.
He's not actually pointing because he's an animal, but he's like, yeah, we just like to fly in the moonlight, man.
You want to hang out for a little bit?
Oh, no, we got a thing. You know, if you can fly, you can join us, man. But
I mean, I'm flying now, but I think Melinda would be upset if I took us off course.
That's cool, man. I don't know what a Melinda is, but, you know, you don't want any harsh vibes, man. You just want to fly in the moonlight, all right? So peace out, man, all right? I'll see you later.
Yeah, take care. Bye. What's your name?
My name is Dormark, he says as flips backwards and just kind of falls like a dive down before expanding all four of his wings again and then swooping back up to join his family.
I'm 150 years young, dude.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for sure.
Every single person, including Volley, roll a wisdom save.
Oh, okay.
Dun. Even the asleep people?
Yes.
18.
All right, I get advantage against magic, so I'm a gnome, which is good. I get a 17.
Oh yeah, I forgot about this from the gnome prison, where the one aspect of it was something that all gnomes had resistance to. Finn gets a 14.
Only 11 for Melinda.
Okay, Volley, roll perception for me. With disadvantage because you're looking out at the creatures.
Perception disadvantaged.
Yeah.
My perception is... Do you want to just use my passive? Or
No.
Do you want to just use my passive? Yeah?
No.
Yeah? Go on. No. Go on. All right, well, I'll let you pick then between a 3 or a natural 1.
Oh, it's natural 1. Volley, roll strength as someone tries to push you overboard.
Oh, crikey.
Oh, shit.
14.
Okay. Melinda, roll strength.
Roll strength. This is the moment where she rolls a really good roll. 11.
Folly, you turn around to see Melinda with her eyes black as coal trying to push you off the ship.
Whoa, what were you doing, Melinda? And Volley will push her backwards away from the edge. Like, what the hell? I thought we were becoming friends. I thought we were vibing.
Not too powerfully pushed, I hope.
On that winner cut downstairs, Finn and Osric. Finn, you wake up with a pair of hands around your throat.
Hello!
As you open your quote-unquote eyes, you realise one of the gnomes that you've saved. It's hard to see in the darkness, but you see that their eyes are absolutely not there. It's just a black sheen over them. Is strangling you.
Hey, buddy! Do you need some eye drops?
Roll strength, and there are strength.
This is gonna be garbage. Oh, fuck me. That's a nat 1, which becomes a 0. Because I've got minus 1 to strength.
Jesus.
He crushes Finn's larynx.
TPK.
Oh my god, a nat 1. I mean, he could be an enfeebled child. He'd still be a nat 1.
So, Dave, what's your con mod?
Plus 2.
Okay, so you have 2 rounds to survive before you pass out.
You have 12 seconds.
To try and breathe again. Can I try and make a call to Zag to help me?
Yes. That'll be your action, but yes.
Zag! Zag!
Roll Zag's perception to see if it wakes up.
Oh, sorry, I'm going to shred my fucking throat if I keep pretending to be choked.
What you should do, Dave, because we're all actors here, is take your hands and, like, throttle yourself, and when you're doing it, then give us a really authentic choking noise.
Yeah. No.
Method acting.
Are you saying you're not a method actor? Like, Craig, you'd do it for cause, wouldn't you?
Always. Every time.
I'm currently actually possessed.
Can I use Zag's passive perception?
Sure.
14.
So, okay.
Alternatively, if that's not good enough, I'll make him roll. I just need to figure out what he rolls.
14's fine. Zag is going to wake up. Zag is next in the action. What's Zag doing?
Attacking the fucker that's choking me.
Okay.
To get him to get off me.
Okay. Roll attack.
That's a 20 knot nat.
That'll hit.
And Zag will do 8 damage to try and get this person off me. With its force empowered rend.
That'll hit. And you do 8 damage. That is most of their HP, so that will break you free.
Thank you, Zag!
He says, growling and baring his teeth at the gnome.
Buddy, what's your problem? That's not a good way to wake someone up. You usually, like, grab them by the shoulder or something.
Osric, roll perception to see if you wake up from this noise.
Alrighty.
I kind of want you not to, like an old man.
No. Osric is snoring really loudly. Osric rolled a 1.
Osric rolled
Wow.
a 1.
I think Osric is, seeing as he's asleep, I think his passive is probably not on par right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Zag's, I'm a bit confused about.
Zag's not really needing to sleep, though. He's a robot.
I suppose.
He doesn't really sleep. He pretends to sleep because he copies his master, but he doesn't actually sleep.
Goes into sleep mode, where he minimises essence consumption.
Hibernate.
All you hear from Osric is just this, like, boat-shaking snore that rattles the frame.
We're going to cut to Volley. Volley, Melinda is moving back towards you, trying to claw at you, and you realise that 2 other members of the boat, so 2 other gnomes, are currently grappling with 2 other gnomes or choking them to death.
Do I know where Melinda's bag of holding is?
Yeah, I would have been sleeping on it, so I'm assuming that, like...
All right, a lot has happened since Volley and Melinda spoke earlier, so I'm going to do one of the DM's patented luck rolls.
Okay.
To see if Volley remembers about the shard. Because I remember it, but does Volley? Volley does not remember about the shard. So Volley will be very confused and be like, Melinda, What are you doing? This is, let's move in the middle of the boat if we're going to play. And also, why is everyone else waking up? I suppose I'm probably making quite a lot of noise. It's okay. Go back to sleep. There's nothing to see here. Well, I mean, there was a minute ago. They were pretty badass. But they've gone now. So go back to sleep. You're too late.
Melinda, cast Eldritch Blast.
Crikey. Oh, dear. One moment. Eldritch Blast coming right
up. Glad to see a tree get one shot by a cantrip.
Yeeted off the boat.
Let's hope that I don't hit. Oh, 12.
Yeah, that hits.
Well damaged.
10 damage. Oh, shit, I get to do it twice. Hang on, I'm just... The Eldritch Blast is an attack. The second one is a 10. That won't hit, will it?
No.
I was about to say, I keep forgetting how low Volley's AC is.
I managed to dodge the second one as the first one hits. I'm like, what the... And Volley just scrambles and runs away, going, Osric! Finn! Random old dude! I think Melinda hates me.
Oh, no.
She's trying to kill me.
Are you running down to the bottom of the ship?
I'm running the long way around to get away from Melinda.
Sure. If you think of the steps down to the hold as being in the middle of the ship, you're running through there. By running there, you'll go past about 2-3 other gnomes that seem to be attacking other gnomes. And you come downstairs and you see Finn is looking confused with Zag next to him in very defensive mode with another gnome moving towards them.
Finn, what the hell is going on? Where's Osric?
I don't know. He must be around here somewhere. This guy just tried to choke me. I don't know what's going on, but I don't want to be offensive. And I apologize in advance. But is this your fault, Volley?
Probably.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Can I scan the room for Osric to try and find him?
He's right next to Finn, in a hammock asleep.
You can hear him as well.
Oh. Is there anyone around Osric?
There's just the gnome that is currently attacking Finn. Everyone roll initiative.
Initiative.
Oh my fucking lord. Another nat 1.
6.
Which becomes a 5 on initiative roll.
Osric got a 2, which gives him a 1.
Wow. Between you and me, Mr. Farr, we are rolling real bad.
Osric is down for the night. He is not waking up for love or money.
Evidently, all that late night tinkering has taken its toll on Finn and Osric.
Melinda, what did you get?
I got 18. Coming to get ya!
Yay.
Bad Melinda. So this is how we get PvP into the game.
This is the dim going, all right, you're going to ignore my story. I'm going to fucking kill you.
With each other.
Ooh, Husk 1. Downstairs Husk did very well.
Downstairs Husk.
Melinda, you're first, and you are driven by an impulse to kill Finn, Volley, and Osric.
Okay, so I'll be heading downstairs then.
Yeah. As you come down the stairs, you will see them as you're halfway down the stairs.
Well, it's Melinda, so we all know what she's going to do. It's time for another Eldritch Blast. I mean, sometimes she does try and use her weapons and it goes badly, but I think it would be unfair to try and do that now. I mean, I hate to say this, but she probably would go for Volley. Like, he stood...
Makes sense. Don't meta.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. I rolled a 19 to hit.
Of course that hits. Square in the face.
Oh, but the damage is bad. It's 3. So that's the lowest it could be. And then...
Damn it, Melinda!
The second one, I'll go for Finn since he stood as well. I rolled a 6, so that one's missed.
That'll miss Finn. Easily. Whoa! 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 Mal, what are you doing?
What is happening?
She's unresponsive.
Mal, we're so sorry for whatever it is Volley did.
I'm sorry for what I did. Whatever it was. It's not my fault. It took me 3 hours to read that book. There were some big words in it, like
I promise we'll give him comprehension tests.
But I don't know what that means.
Exactly.
I can't comprehend you, Finn.
Finn, a 12 as the gnome swings at you with a sword.
Misses.
Perfect. I think you get second attack, but let me just double check. They don't.
What, random basic bitch gnome?
Random basic bitch gnome. They clearly have grabbed a sword and they swing it at you and they miss. Next to Melinda appears another gnome. You recognize him, Finn, as the Tear Enforcer you spoke to when you freed them. And he pulls out a gun and points it square at you, Finn.
Oh, buddy, you don't want to do that. You really, really don't want to do that.
17. I'm assuming that hits.
So Finn will use his speaking spell focus to cast shield as a reaction. He gets plus 5 bonus to AC for this round.
What's your shield again?
A force barrier just erects around him.
Volley, it's you.
I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to move to the back of the room, frantically shake Osric on the way past. I'm like, Osric, Osric, it's time to wake up from your slumber. Melinda's trying to kill me.
Given that I am in the deepest sleep of my 3 centuries of life, does that wake me up or do I need to make a check for it?
If he's physically shaking you, yeah. I think it's fine. Unless you want to make a check to make it more fun.
DM's prerogative.
Make a check.
What do you want?
Constitution. If you get a 10 or up, you're good. If you get below a 10, you're asleep.
Oh, 20.
There you go.
What? What's going on? What's going on? Volley? What? Huh?
But Linda is trying to kill me.
What?
I don't know why. And also, all the gnomes are going crazy.
Bloody airships. Yeah. I knew I couldn't trust this damn thing.
Have you still got those ants? They might be useful right now.
I just had the one can, I think. I would never use a can like that again on a ship. Bad idea.
Yeah. I'm so scared. I don't know what's going on.
It's now Finn's turn.
Finn is going to do something that none of the gang have seen him do before, and Volley has been waiting for this. Finn is going to remove his mask. With that, he's going to use one of his race abilities, See My True Face. Osric, Volley, look away! And as he says that, he's going to pull his mask away, and just raw essence is just going to come flooding out. And the way this mechanically works is when Finn removes his mask, all creatures within 10 feet of him that can see him must each succeed on a charisma saving throw or become frightened until the end of my next turn.
It's happening, because Volley looks away and then realizes what's happening, goes, no, and just peeks with one eye and definitely looks at Finn and the insane raw essence.
Melinda rolls a 17.
15.
Oh, fucking hell, that's probably almost certainly going to pass. So, 11 to beat.
So, yeah, Melinda passes.
You see the essence smashing into Melinda, and then the darkness around her eyes, Finn. You notice that black crust starts forming around her eyes.
God. Oh, God! That's not working! Just to finish off, the transformation lasts for a minute or until I put my mask back on. As a bonus action, I can, during a turn, I can deal extra psychic damage to one target when you deal damage to it with an attack or spell, and the psychic damage equals my level.
Oh.
The one beside Melinda has been stopped in its tracks and is going to start on its turn trying to get away.
And for Finn's bonus action, he's going to get Zag to try and do non-lethal damage to Melinda.
Okay.
That's a 20 not nat.
Yeah, that hits.
Oof, only 4 damage.
Thank you. Anything happening to me? Am I coming out of my stupor?
You can roll a wisdom save at DC 15.
Oh, 16.
Yeah!
We can stop this PvP bullshit.
You wake up with Zag just slapping you around the face repeatedly.
Zag, get off me!
Everyone else, you notice the black around her eyes, the crust dissipates, and the black in her eyes vanishes.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, Melinda! Thank God you're okay!
What are you talking about?
I mean, look how you're standing, and look at the scorch marks all over Volley.
And then I'm going to kind of leap towards those guys.
You tried to push me off the edge, and you eldritch blast me twice. I thought we were friends.
She's going to look really sad and horrified at this conversation with her Volley, but not really say anything. And then I guess turn and look shocked at the other gnomes that have black crust around them.
Yeah, Melinda, you'll see that next to you there is one with black crust that's looking quite evil. And behind you up the stairs that these guys can't see are 2 more.
Mm-hmm. I thought we stopped the black crust. Why is it here?
It's the crust? Ugh. Again.
It's Osric's turn.
Right, I have been woken up into a battleground. So I am going to not pick up my shield or hammer or do anything else because we don't want to kill these guys. So he's going to duck into a run and try and tackle that elder gnome to the ground. And this is Osric's thing now. Thanks for noticing, Craig. He plays American football.
Roll strength.
He got a 12.
The gear gnome enforcer got a 4, so you beat him.
All right, tackling him to the ground, Osric will try and pin him in place while everyone else comes up with some way to remove the black crust. Osric has no immediate thoughts as to how to do that.
Melinda, it's you.
Okay, great. Oh, the crystal in my bag. Could it be that? And then I'd like to try and run upstairs.
No, it definitely can't be that.
To where my bag was.
You can. You will get an attack opportunity by the two gnomes will attack you.
Yeah, that's fine.
The first one will try and grab you with a 10.
Fails.
The second one with a 19.
That will indeed hit me.
He's going to try and punch you. So that is max damage.
Is that the name of the next character? Max damage.
Max damage. That is plus strength, which is 0. So that's 4 damage.
Mm-hmm. But can I keep moving?
Yes.
If I use my dash action, can I get to my bag?
You can, but you'll have to interact with it next turn.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you've run past everything that's going on. Around you, you do see there are gnomes that are controlled and gnomes that aren't, and they're kind of fighting each other.
Yeah.
You also see, which surprises you, a human fighting off one of the gnomes.
A pirate human.
Yes. And you recognize him as Barry the intern. He clearly is half into a barrel and is fighting them while trying to close the lid of the barrel on himself. Next is the husk that is currently being grappled by Osric. I'm gonna roll strength, try and get out. That's a 2.
Would you like me to do the same?
Yeah.
I don't think I could actually fail for plus 2, but I got a 20. So Osric will grab the hand that struggles free and slam it back into the shipboards, fixing him even more in place than he was before.
You're seeing on this gnome's face not anger and hatred, but pure fear, because it's actually trying to get away from Finn. Actually, is Finn's face still out?
Yeah.
Osric needs to roll then.
He wasn't willingly looking at him. What do I need to roll?
A Christmas saving throw.
Save, Christmas yeah. saving throw.
DC 11.
Is this magic?
Yep. Thank it's pure God. Magic.
Oh, I rolled 2 threes, so I got 6.
So you're scared
so
of
you
Finn.
You will also be scared of Finn.
Okay, great. So Osric, I suppose, will drop the gnome and run away from him.
Well, you will next turn. You won't right now, but you will in your turn, yeah.
This is my turn, though, isn't it?
No. This is the husk's turn.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So this husk is going to try and hit you, Finn, for a 12.
That's going to miss.
Perfect. But it is withstanding your face. The husk that you've pinned down, Osric, is going to try and break free. That's a 2.
Mm-hmm.
You can't break free. Volley, it's you.
Oh, can I run upstairs as well?
You can do, yeah, for sure. You will also get a attack of opportunity on you if you go upstairs with you.
Isn't that the one that's underneath Osric?
No, there are 2 at the top of the stairs that Melinda ran past.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to run towards this husk, gnome, creature thing that seems to be blocking the stairs. And as I get 10 paces away, I'm going to cast Colour Spray directly at them.
Okay.
So there is a 30 hit points worth of creatures in front of me are dazzled.
Yeah, they're both dazzled.
Yeah, so I kind of dazzle them as I run past. No! And I run past and head upstairs to try and find Malinda.
So, creature 1, 7.
Nope.
And the second creature got a 6.
No, none of them hit. I just bundle.
So you break free bar for them. They both swing wildly, but you get through them.
Yeah, I just kind of barge through, ignoring them.
You can still move when you get to the top. Where are you going? There's a variety of fights happening around you.
Straight to Melinda.
Okay.
I'm going to try and ignore everything else and, yeah, go straight to the bag, which is where I assume Melinda is going. I don't actually know.
I did shout out that that's where I was going.
Oh, did you? Maybe that's why I assume so.
Finn, it's you.
Finn, first and foremost, going to put his mask back on as a bonus action.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing Osric not reacting too favourably to it.
Oh, very unfavourably. Osric looked like he didn't like you more than usual.
That's kind of why Finn doesn't do this, because he's kind of worried about how people will react. He knows that people outside of the Larsa can be a bit overwhelmed by the raw power. So with that, he's gonna put his mask back on, and then can you remind me what I'm looking at?
You're looking at one creature that's trying to punch you, and another creature that Osric has pinned down to the ground, and there's two creatures at the top of the stairs who are currently blinded, so they're not being able to move.
Okay. Finn is going to...
Is Osric still feared when it gets his turn?
So because this is the end of his next turn from when he cast it, Osric, upon putting his mask back on, you are no longer scared of him. But what you saw was terrifying.
And I will remember it forever.
Finn is thoroughly offended. Finn is going to walk up to Osric, put his hand on his shoulder and cast Warding Bond. So what that does is, touching a willing creature, mystic connection between us until the spell ends. While the target's within 60 feet of me, they gain +1 to AC and saving throws, and it's resistant to all damage.
Nice.
Yeah, good.
Also, each time he takes damage, I take the same amount.
Oh, you kept quiet about that bit.
Spell ends, if I drop to 0 hit points, or if you and the target become separated by more than 60 feet. It also ends if a spell is cast again, and the spell lasts an hour.
Okay. You're next to Osric, so you can touch him while you're in this fight, because you were able to move away from the fight, but you can touch him and he's still fine.
Yeah.
What about Zag?
He is my bonus action.
Oh, okay, fine.
He'll still impose disadvantage because he's within 5 feet of the attackers.
Yeah, fine. Osric, it's you.
So we've got the gnome on the ground that I was previously tackling, who is no longer feared, but is still goopy.
Still evil, but you are pinning him down. There's also a gnome standing up that's currently trying to hit Finn. And then there's two at the top of the stairs that you can see that are waddling around trying to swat at nothing.
I would like to maintain my pin and rack my mind for any sort of idea. Why do I think this is happening? Why has this come out of nowhere? It must have been something to do with the fact they came from Tyr, right?
That's as good an explanation as you can have. Their eyes look black in this crust forming like those creatures that you fought in the Glistening Glades.
Mm-hmm.
You also saw quite evilly things, not like this, but evilly things while in Tyr. They are from Tyr. Melinda also just ran off yelling about the crystal, and you know that she took a crystal from the Glistening Glade, big crystal, when it smashed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't mean Osric was paying attention to that tackling someone.
Yeah, roll intelligence to see if you could put A and B together.
Osric didn't put A and B together. He got a total of 2. He wasn't paying attention.
So whatever Osric thinks is happening is happening.
Yeah, so he will maintain his pin and he will shout to everyone else, "What's going on? Why have they turned now? This is like Tyr all over again."
"I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's somehow Volley's fault."
We cut to Melinda. Melinda, you are at your bag.
Okay, I'd like to go in, and the crystal's fairly near the top because we had it out earlier. I still don't really want to touch it with my skin, so I'll be just using my like top or just some cloth whatever's around. And if I look overboard, can I see lights?
So as you take it out, you hear lots of whispering voices calling to you.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
I would need you to make a wisdom save again.
Okay. Magic, so I can do it twice. 12.
12 will pass.
Just.
Just. Very, very much just.
And then can I cast Dispel Magic on this crystal, please?
Yes, you can.
That just is something that just happens.
It just happens, does it?
Yeah, it does. For each spell, if it's a spell that's in it, 4th level or higher, then I need to make an ability check. And then it's DC 10 plus the spell level.
Okay.
So is it higher than a 4th level?
Roll to see if you dispel it. Roll well, Melinda. Roll well.
Roll well.
Or don't.
Yeah. 23.
Ooh, Melinda, Melinda, Melinda. So, all of a sudden, you see the black crystal becomes a clear see-through crystal. It's gone. The colour's instantly gone. And you feel a ripple across the whole ship. The gnomes, who all were driven crazy, suddenly stop. The black and the crust dissipates from their eyes instantly. The one beneath you, Osric, suddenly stops. Its eyes are normal. What's going on? The one that was attacking you, Finn, suddenly stops and stumbles backwards. The ones around
you... Don't trust him, Osric! Keep going!
The ones that are all around you, Volley, that are fighting. Other gnomes suddenly stop. They clearly just suddenly realise what's going on. The human who's halfway in a barrel Suddenly he's able to put the lid back on his little barrel as the gnome stops. And Melinda, you are aware now what you have in your hand.
Yeah.
We talked about this previously, but I'll reiterate it. Crystals are used to hold spells.
Yeah.
You put essence of a spell into a crystal and it's basically a spell to be used as and when. You now have a pure, undone crystal.
Oh, Melinda's happy about that.
You can store a spell in the crystal.
Yep, she's going to put that in a very safe place, in a cupboard, in the bag, possibly with like a tree lock on it.
I think we need a map of this bag.
It's very big. And
for all of our eagle-eared listeners, please feel free to draw up a map of what you think Melinda's bag looks like and send it through to us at P.O. Box. Nobody will read it.
Oh, I would definitely read that if somebody made that. Please. At Tabletop Vagabonds, thank you very much. Yeah, and she is going to try not to mention that again to anybody. She just wanna...
Behind you, as you're climbing out the bag, you see Volley.
Yeah. Volley, I'm so sorry. Do I have memory of what I did when
you
I was...
You do. Yes, you do. You do know what you've done.
I thought you were about to start singing. Volley, I'm so sorry.
If I thought it would make him feel better, then she would consider it. It wasn't me. I do like you. I would never try and hurt you. Even when you really annoy me, I would never want to hurt you. And you did such a good job with that book. I'm going to find you the next one.
Okay. But I think we need to find the crystal. I think it's the crystal.
I did it. It was the crystal. Oh. You're right. Oh, you're right.
Oh, thank God. Shall I yeet it over the edge?
No. I think I got rid of it. I think I dispelled the crust from it.
Oh.
Are you okay? And then I'll just sort of turn to one of the people who was crusted before.
Oh, yes. Yes, dear. I don't know what came over me. I suddenly had an insane blood rage. A kind of murderous appetite that couldn't be quenched.
Yes, me too. It should be okay now.
I'm still a bit hungry, but I'm okay.
I've got no more cake.
Strange old man. I kind of like you. You can stay.
Volley, maybe you have a good berry for him.
I'll take a good berry.
Volley will grow one right on the tip of his finger and hold it out. Arm's length.
He'll just put his mouth around your finger and slowly
like a
take
grape.
It off. Yeah. He doesn't chew the berry, he just sucks in it for ages and walks away like a hard candy.
Oh, that's really horrid. See, Molly, I think we did it.
Well, I thought we'd already done it, but a bit wary.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. This is a lesson that we shouldn't just go around picking up evil sources and putting them on my back. I'll do a full inventory when we're back on ground.
Who would have said?
That's probably a good idea.
Finn and Osric, how's it going down below?
Oh, well, since you ask. No, you pick up Finn. I was just making a very bad joke about the fact that Alex was asking how my...
undercarriages.
sorry, I didn't even get that. So Finn's going to check on the guy that Zag hit earlier and he's going to cure wounds him. Are you okay? I'm so sorry. Something came over you. There was something controlling people on board, but I think it's gone now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I feel better now, I think. I think I just need a bit of a lie down. I hope I don't wake up to become a murderous killer again.
Us too.
Yeah, I also hope that.
Right, well, I'm going to sit down. I feel like I pulled a hammy in all that fighting.
Osric, I think you can get off that guy.
Yeah, Osric will be back to his feet and he'll have extended a hand helping the other guy back up as well.
Thank you, sir. It's quite unbefitting of a tier enforcer. I apologise for my behaviour, my lord.
What happened? What brought this on?
I honestly don't know. One minute I was just having a chat and next I just wanted to murder everyone.
Well, thankfully, nobody got seriously hurt, he says, whilst cure wounding a great big gashed-up wound in the gnome's leg from where Zag attacked him.
From there, you see that everyone is clearly in shock. Everyone clearly doesn't know what happened. The people kind of sit down and try and reassess what happened, what was going on. Everyone kind of looks to you, Melinda, knowing that something big happened over there. On the deck, they're all kind of a bit confused. Osric and Finn, you kind of come up to the top of the deck, along with the other gnomes. Everyone's looking for answers because it's quite a scary moment.
It's all okay now. It won't happen again. I found the source of the problem.
Was it Volley? I heard someone say it was Volley.
It wasn't Volley. Volley saved the day. He was a hero here. There's nothing to worry about, Volley.
I'm the victim. Look at my scorch marks on my bark.
I'm sorry, Volley. I kept blaming you.
It's all right, Finn.
Is there anything you can do for Volley? Look, I didn't mean to hurt him.
Finn will go over and sort of just go, I feel like I should probably do it, Osric. You take five. And he'll go and cure wounds Volley.
And as I've tried to get them, hopefully Osric has followed at least, so it's just the four of us, I will tell Finn and Osric that it was the crystal that we picked up in the Glistening Glades that caused this, but it won't happen again.
Did we bring all the crystal with us? We didn't leave any behind, did we?
It smashed, and I think we did.
Oh,
I think we left a lot of the crystal behind. Mm. I think we left 99% of the crystal behind.
Well, I really hope that doesn't come back to haunt us.
And I don't remember whose idea it was to bring it, but in the future, I think we should be careful about what we put into my bag.
It was 99% Melinda's decision.
Yeah. Deflection.
It was 100% Melinda be like, oh, I'll take that with me. I don't know who it was, but fuck them.
I'm curious, the smile on your face either tells me that you now know that we know something, or that you hadn't figured out that the rest of that crystal is still in that cave.
Who are you talking to, me?
You.
Oh, I have worlds within worlds, mate. I'm a thousand steps behind them. I'm a thousand steps behind each one of you.
You're a thousand steps behind us. I mean, that's not good. I wouldn't brag about that, bro.
Just now deciding, hey, maybe a podcast is a good idea.
Yeah. I'm a thousand steps behind you guys.
You're all just puppets in my little world. Yes.
Where we're somehow puppeteering the puppeteer.
As the four of you were discussing what has happened and realizing that there was a lot of crystal left behind, and that could be pretty bad.
Yeah.
We will end our session with the ship going into the new dawn as the sun is rising on the new day, and the dead bones is still piloting across, now leaving the shoreline and heading into central Aria.
Oh, it'd be good just have one good night's sleep, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So out of curiosity, we'd basically have to turn around to go back to that cave now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, it'd be a long detour. Yeah.
Yeah. We might actually have to do that.
To be fair, though, you destroyed it in a cave.
We did destroy it, yeah.
It was left in a cave. You had a crystal around people. It didn't even affect you until you took out the bag.
Yeah.
But how close to civilization was that cave?
Pretty far.
Okay. Still don't feel great about leaving just like... It's like leaving nukes in a forest.
We'll have to send a message to the Koyang and tell them never to go in that cave again.
Let's go into the Mystic Realm and commune with Raldi and get her to deal with it.
Yeah.
Next episode is Galestar.
Galestar, baby.
Where we might get to see the families of Finn and Melinda.
Oh, my.
And watch them die.
Jesus. It's only fair.